CD 3.
Oh, lesser wizards warn us that a hiver distorts the mind of its host, curdling it and inevitably causing an early death through brain fever. I say poppycock. People have always been afraid of what they do not understand. But I have understanding. This morning at 2 o'clock, I captured a hiver with my device, and now it is locked inside my head. I can sense its memories, the memories of every creature it has inhabited. Yet, because of my superior intellect, I control the hiver. It does not control me. I do not feel that it has changed me in any way. My mind is as extraordinarily powerful as it has always been. At this point, the writing is smudgy, apparently because Bustle was beginning to drool. Oh, how they have held me back over the years, those worms and cravens that have through sheer luck been allowed to call themselves my superiors. They laughed at me, but they are not laughing now. Even those who called themselves my friends, oh, yes, they did nothing but hinder me. What about the warnings, they said? Why did the jar you found the plans in have the words, "Do not open under any circumstances," engraved in 15 ancient languages on the lid, they said? Cowards. So-called chums. Creatures inhabited by a hiver become paranoid and insane, they said. Hivers cannot be controlled, they squeaked. Do any of us believe this for 1 minute? What glories await! Now I have cleansed my life of such worthlessness. And as for those even now having the disrespect, yes, disrespect to hammer on my door, just because of what I did to the so-called Arch Chancellor and the College Council, how dare they judge me? Like all insects, they have no concept of greatness. I will show them. But I insuleps blit hammering did George Flick. And there the writing ends. On a little card beside the book, some wizard of former times has written, "All that could be found of Professor Bustle was buried in a jar in the old rose garden. We advise all research students to spend some time there and reflect upon the manner of his death." The moon was on the way to being full. A gibbous moon, it's called. It's one of the duller phases of the moon and seldom gets illustrated. The full moon and the crescent moon get all the publicity. Rob Anybody sat alone on the mound just outside the fake rabbit hole, staring at the distant mountains where the snow on the peaks gleamed in the moonlight. A hand touched him lightly on the shoulder. "'Tis not like you to let someone creep up on you, Rob Anybody," said Jeanie, sitting down beside him. Rob Anybody sighed. "Daft Woolly was telling me you havena been eating your meals," said Jeanie carefully. Rob Anybody sighed. "And Big Jan said that when you was out hunting today, you let a fox go past without giving it a good kickin'." Rob sighed again. There was a faint pop, followed by a glugging noise. Jeanie held out a tiny wooden cup. In her other hand was a small leather bottle. Fumes from the cup wavered in the air. "This is the last of the special sheep liniment your big wee hag gave us at our wedding," said Jeanie. "I put it safely by for emergencies." "She's no my big wee hag, Jeanie," said Rob, without looking at the cup. "She's your big wee hag. And I'll tell you, Jeanie, she has it in her to be the hag of hags. There's power in her she doesna dream of, but the hiver smells it." "Aye, well, a drink's a drink, whomsoever you call her," said Jeanie soothingly. She waved the cup under Rob's nose. He sighed and looked away. Jeanie stood up quickly. "Wooly, Big Jan, come quick!" she yelled. "He willna tak a drink. I think he's deed." "Ach, this is no the time for strong liquor," said Rob Anybody. "My heart is heavy, woman." "Quickly now!" Jeanie shouted down the hall. "He's deed and talking!" "She's the hag o' these hills," said Rob, ignoring her. "Just like her granny. She tells the hills what they are every day. She has them in her bones. She holds them in her heart. Without her, I dinna like to think of the future." The other feagles had come scurrying out of the hole and were looking uncertainly at Jeanie. "Is something wrong?" said Daft Woolly. "Aye," snapped the Kelder. "Rob willna tak a drink of special sheep liniment." Woolly's little face screwed up in instant grief. "Ach, the big man's deed," he sobbed. "Oh, weely, weely, weely." "Will yer hush yer gob, ye big muddlin'?" shouted Rob Anybody, standing up. "I am no deed."